Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
And the first reading today is Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. Who can find an excellent woman? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband trusts her completely. She gives him all the important things he needs. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She chooses wool and flax. She loves to work with her hands. She is like the ships of traders. She brings her food from far away. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family. She also gives some to her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. She uses some of the money she earns to plant a vineyard. She gets ready to work hard. Her arms are strong. She sees that her trading earns a lot of money. Her lamp doesn't go out at night. With one hand, she holds the wool. With the other, she spins the thread. She opens her arms to those who are poor. She reaches out her hands to those who are needy. When it snows, she's not afraid for her family. All of them are dressed in the finest clothes. She makes her own bed coverings. She is dressed in fine linen and purple clothes. Her husband is respected at the city gate. There, he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen clothes and sells them. She supplies belts to the traders. She puts on strength and honor as if they were her clothes. She can laugh at the days that are coming. She speaks wisely. She teaches faithfully. She watches over family matters. She is busy all the time. Her children stand up and call her blessed. Her husband also rises up and he praises her. He says, many women do excellent things, but you are better than all the others. And the second reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 9 to 15. What benefit does the worker gain from what he undertakes? I have observed the burdens placed by God on human beings in order to perfect them. He made everything appropriate in its time. He also placed eternity within them. Yet, no person can fully comprehend what God is doing from beginning to end. I have concluded that the only worthwhile thing for them is to take pleasure in doing good in life. Moreover, each person should eat, drink, and enjoy the benefits of everything that he undertakes, since it is a gift from God. I have concluded that everything that God undertakes will last for eternity. Nothing can be added to it, nor taken away from it. And that God acts this way so that people will fear him. That which was, now is. And that which will be, already is. And then God examines what has already taken place.
Thanks very much, Sherry, for that reading. What do Mars and mothers have in common? I think you know the answer to that question. In churches all across North America, Many messages will be delivered from pulpits, elaborating on the virtues and the godly characteristics of the Proverbs 31 woman we read about a few minutes ago. Some might also be preaching on the life of Jochebed, who was Moses' mother, who was a true problem solver, figuring out ways to save her son while still maintaining a close connection with him as his mother. Others may be preaching on Hannah or Mary, the mother of Jesus. But today, I want us to look at this question. What do Mars and mothers have in common? In greeting cards, often found on store shelves, the word mother is often spelled out, with each letter being part of a message one desires to give to his or her mother. One such card read like this: M is for the millions of things she gave me. O means only that she is growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R is right, and right she'll always be. I think Bill would agree with that. Put together all of those things together and they spell the word mother. A word that for me means a lot also, as Bob shared earlier. There are lots of wonderful mothers here today. There are mothers all around us that come from traditional families. But there are also moms who have stepped in special circumstances. There are some grandmothers that I work with in my counseling that are really mothers for their grandchildren. There are mothers that become mothers because of special circumstances. There are single mothers, there are stepmothers, and there are step-in mothers. And today, we honor all of you. Really, in reality, we wouldn't live as human beings if mothers didn't exist. We couldn't be born, and we couldn't live. I recently read this interesting story of how one person imagined God creating mothers, and it goes like this. When the good Lord created mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime when an angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around with this one." The Lord replied, "Have you seen the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable and not plastic, have 180 moving parts, all replaceable, run on black coffee and leftovers, have a lap that disappears when she stands up, a kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointing love affair, and 6 pairs of hands." The angel shook her head slowly and said, "6 pairs of hands? No way." "It's not the hands that are causing me problems," said the Lord. "It's the 3 pairs of eyes that mothers have to have. One pair that sees closed doors when she asks, 'What are your kids doing in there?' And she already knows. Another in the back of her head that see what she shouldn't, but what she needs to know. And of course, the ones in front that look at a child when he goofs up and says, 'I understand, I love you,' without so much as uttering a word. I'm so close to creating something so close to myself," God said. "Although I have one who heals herself when she gets sick, can feed a family of 6 on 1 pound of hamburger, and gets a 9-year-old to stand under a shower. She also has to be one that not only thinks, but can reason and compromise." Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek of the mother. "There's a leak," she pronounced. "A leak?" the angel replied. "I told you we were putting too much into this model." "That's not a leak," the Lord said. "It's a tear." "What is that for?" asked the angel. The Lord replied, "It's for joy and sadness, disappointment and pain, loneliness and pride." "You're a genius," shouted the angel. With a somber look on his face, the Lord said, "I didn't put that tear there." Mothers really do feel like sometimes they are from Mars. They have needs too, but they're often overlooked in the busyness of the ordinary days of trying to care for families, spouses, older family members, and a host of other people who cross their paths. When was the last time that you said these three important words to your mother? I love you. Some men have the philosophy, I don't have to say I love you, you already know it. Or, I've told you before, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Or, I'll show love, not just say it. I show my love through what I do. And that all may be true, but a woman needs to hear these three words. I love you. And children need to hear these words and be taught to say these words as well. And yes, adult children need to hear those words as much as their mothers do. On this subject, a Dear Abby letter was published in a local U.S. newspaper. It read, "Dear Abby, I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. 36 days later, I was on my way to the Philippines. En route to the Philippines, fell to the Japanese, and we were routed to Australia. 11 days after we landed, I met the most beautiful girl in the world. On our first date, I told her I was going to marry her. And I did, 18 months later, while on a 10-day R&R leave to New Guinea. After more than 57 years of marriage and two children, my beloved Mary died 5 days before Christmas. Although we agreed that our ashes would be scattered over the mountains, I found that I could not part with hers. While Mary was alive, she would frequently say, 'You don't know how much I love you.' I replied, 'Likewise, I never said I love you.' Now her ashes are in my dresser drawer, where I tell her several times a day how much I love her, but it's too late. Although I wrote poetry to her, I could not bring myself to say these three words, 'I love you,' even though I knew it was what she wanted to hear the most. As my dearest was dying, and we thought she was comatose, I told her, 'There are not enough words to tell you how much I love you.' A few hours later, she whispered, 'Not enough words,' and died. The reason I'm writing this is to urge men to express their feelings while their loved ones are alive. I don't know why, but many men are reluctant to express the depth of their feeling. And it was signed Missing Mary in Colorado. Our spouses need to hear it. I love you. Our children need to hear it. And our mothers also. What do Mars and mothers have in common? Mothers are really special. So as we celebrate Mother's Day today, and as many of you celebrate with your mothers, here are some suggestions on what you can do to celebrate with your mother. Love her verbally. Love her physically. Hugs are a wonderful gift. Love her patiently. Love her attentively. Love her gratefully. An elementary science class had been studying magnets and how metal objects are attracted to them. At the end of the unit, the teacher placed this question on the test. What is a six-letter word which starts with M and picks up things? And over half the children wrote down, "Mother." Sixthly, love her generously. And seventh, love her honorably, which may be the hardest one of all for those of you, or perhaps those you know, who have mothers who have caused them great pain. Some of you may watch the program The Big Bang Theory, which is coming to an end. And for many years, from time to time, I've watched Sheldon and Amy, Leonard and Penny, Howard and Bernadette and Raj try to problem solve through the many dilemmas of our modern world. This week, I watched the second last episode before it was to go off the air. And those of you who are not familiar with the show, this particular episode focused on Leonard, who had been struggling for years with his relationship with his mother, a psychologist. He has never been able to feel love from his mother. She will never say those words, "I love you." But in this particular episode, she was visiting with him and with his wife, Penny, and she made it clear that she wanted to go and visit his workplace. Now, those of you that have watched the show for a while will know that Leonard's mother is a psychologist who basically uses her son to collect data for her next book. And that is what she does. And so Leonard, thinking that this might be the case, went. But his mom was different. She just seemed different. She seemed more appreciative. She seemed more interested. And there was a part of him that wanted to believe that she really, really did care about him. And so when they arrive home and there's an opportunity to talk, she again tells him that, "Yes, Leonard, my visit to your workplace is part of my next book, and I am collecting data for that book." And she went into her usual, "Now, when I say that to you, is that somewhat agreeable? Is that very agreeable? Is that very disagreeable?" And this typical things that she does. And Leonard is very angry. And he stomps out and he goes to his friends, Sheldon and Amy, and tries to figure out a way to deal with this whole situation. But he's crushed and he's betrayed and he's angry once again that his mother is not capable of giving him what he needs. And so, after speaking with Sheldon and Amy, he decides to go back and confront his mother. And he walks into the room and he says to her, "Do not say anything. I am going to tell you what I really think of you and all the ways that you've hurt me. And this is going to take a while." And then there's a pause. And his mother says rather coldly, "When will you begin? I am ready." And then there's a very long pause, and Leonard blurts out, "Mom, none of what I'm going to tell you matters. I forgive you for all the ways that you've hurt me, and I realize that I cannot change you, but I can forgive you." And in that moment, there's a very reflective moment for Leonard's mother. And for the first time ever, she becomes awkwardly emotional, stands up, and says, "Thank you, Leonard," and puts her arms around him. You know, it's easy to love others when life is perfect, but life is rarely perfect. And mothers are rarely perfect as well. However, most mothers try to do their best. They try to do what they're called to do, and we need to take one day a year to honor them. So, as you watch your wife or your mother or the woman that you see with a Mars bar enjoying what was given out earlier today, just remember what Mars and mothers have in common. Mothers are really special.